got the first minig, yeah, you've got Amalek on the underside of your shoe, yeah, and then you're walking on Shabbos, but I think it's the same thing, that's called Misasik. Normally it was called Misasik.
Started there the tour away in northwest London, Tuesday, 28th of Adar Rishon, 1st of March. Rabbi Daniel Rosh Lita, Megillas Esther, Part 3. This week's Torah Wave is sponsored by Family DeLang on the first Yahrzeit of Mr. Jack Ullman's of the Rocha of Yaakov Ben Yehuda, whose Yahrzeit will be tomorrow. Today's Shir is also sponsored Lili Nishmas Daniel Ben David Shem Tov Alevi on the first Yahrzeit.
Continuing, we've been going through the Megillah, looking at some of the key points that Chazal bring out and some of the different aspects and elements. And we are, we're sort of up to... We kind of rushed a little bit in some aspect of the fourth paragraph, which I'd like to go back and focus on just for a bit before we go into the fifth paragraph and see how far we can get today. So in the fourth paragraph, we had the dialogue, which I touched upon right at the end last time. We've got to the point where Mordechai is trying to get Esther, or rather, Esther first asks Mordechai what's happening. So if you look at the beginning, if you're following inside, you look at the beginning of the fourth paragraph, there's a medrash which goes through the point which I made a few times, that everything Mordechai does is keneged, something to do with Yaakov and Esau and something. And then we get to the point where Tikra Esther Hasach. She calls Hasach, Mr. Yisrael Melech, and the Gemara famously says Hasach is Daniel and some. But then, she wants to know what's going on, right? She wants to understand the story here. And Mazeva Al Mazeh, the Chazal says like Mizel Mizeh, maybe Klal Yisrael has failed to keep the Aseret HaDibros that are written Mizeh and Mizeh. All sorts of remazim, but she wants to know what's going on. So he goes, so Mordechai says all that had happened. And again, obviously, the Megillah says all the time, the words are all sensitively refer to other things. And what's that?
Who is Hasach?
Hasach is the messenger. The Gemara says he's
done. It's a person.
Yes, a person. Sorry, it's a person. The Gemara says it's Daniel and gives two different reasons why he's called Hasach. But yes, either way, Hasach is a messenger.
He's not a Jewish person.
Well, according to the fact, he's Daniel, he's been very Jewish. But if you go with other Rishonim, don't end up here, the Gemara could have been any messenger. But it sounds like he's, the Gemara's pretty, in a few places in Shas, the Gemara says, not just in Maseches Megillah, also in Bava Basra, and other places, that Hasach and Iva gives different reasons why he would get the name Hasach. In general, in the Persian Empire, people had multiple, it had royal names, kind of official names, and then their private names, as we see. Mordechai, Chazal says, is Bilshan. Esther is called Hadassah Beferish in here and so on. Haman is Memuchan and so on. Okay, so either way, Vayagin le Mordechai. So Mordechai tells this messenger, Eskolasha Karohu, all that had happened to him. Now, Karohu is a very powerful word when you want to be meramis to the fact that this is Amalek. Because Karohu means happened, and it's a word that is always used by Amalek. Asher Karoch HaBaderach, they happened upon you along the way. So Mordechai is telling her about the Gezerah, but he's also hinting to her that there's something much more cosmic and much more fundamental going on over here. Okay, either way, so he says, everything's happened, Barashas HaKesev, Asharam HaHaman Ishkol, all the money that Haman supplied, and then Pashegim Savadas, he actually gives her a copy of the decree. Very interesting, because the most posh way of learning, or I should say, the most natural way of learning the Megillah is everybody knew about these decrees. It's amazing Esther didn't seem to know about it. She didn't seem to have a copy of the decree. So I can say, yeah, she's in the palace. She doesn't see the big posters going out everywhere. The Malbim learns differently. The Malbim actually learns. I didn't show you this when we went through the first time, but if you actually medayek carefully the Psukim, you can look in the Malbim inside. He says there was two letters that went out. There was that the actual letter to destroy Klal Yisrael was not revealed to everybody. Let's just look at the. Actually, have a look at the
psukim themselves. A year later.
Correct. The letters themselves to be opened a year later. And let me just sort of find the exact. There's a beautiful diuk he makes in the Psukim. One second. So it's the end of Perek Gimel. Here, I'm just trying to. Here we go. Here he says. Pashegan aksav linos in das b'chomet medina medina. So what was Goloi l'chol ha'amim? There was a second thing that went out for all the Medinas to be read, to be revealed for all the people, liyos asidim liyom hazeh, just to be ready for this day. The actual svarim that was sent by Adarotzim on Medina Samelech, l'ashmi l'aragul ha'abed, could have been kept sealed for the governors to open a year later. And the Malbim actually uses this through the story. He wants to say, if you read carefully, the people understood what it meant. There was Abel, God, Layud, everybody understood. If Haman's now got the tabas, he's got the ring, he's in charge, and letters are going out, and everyone's going to be ready, this is bad news for Klal Yisrael. But it wasn't officially opened, which allowed a later decree to be masakin it. They couldn't repeal it, but they could be masakin the nusach, could change the could interpret it differently.
Why was it delayed? Why? Why was his reasoning?
The reasoning
for delaying it for 1 year.
A delay of 1 year, we know that was because he was hit for pouring. He made lots, and therefore it just happened to land on that date. So that there, that the Malbim doesn't take issue. That's a precision maker. The point I'm making is that will make a lot of sense as to why then Mordechai manages to access through his contacts an actual copy of the letter and gets it back to Esther, so she can see whatever games they're telling her in the palace, whatever sort of fake news they're giving her. She's got the real story. Either way, one way or the other, she ends up with this Pashegan Ksavadas, she ends up with this copy that was Nitem B'Shushan Lahashmid. He gave her Laharis Esther Lahagid Lolat Savoy Salah and to command her, Lavoy La Melech Lishanin Loi, or Levakish Milafon of Alamo, to go and beg for her people, right? The word Chanina is a very important word because we will see later on in the Megillah she will do that, but not straight away. Why does she not do that? And as we go there, we would actually see a very interesting thing, Remez. As Hashem, if we do get there before Purim, but anyway, we'll see what goes on with that. But she replies and says, and faithfully Hasach goes back and tells Esther's divrei Mordechai everything Mordechai had said. The apostle keep doing that. Hasach goes here, Hasach goes there, Hasach does everything, and then now she commands him. It's the first time she gives a command in the Megillah. Call out the Amalek. She says, famously, every child knows constitutional law of Persia, that anybody who walks into that part of the palace, this is going to be killed, shot at the gates. Unless the king's given the scepter. I haven't been called for 30 days. And then comes an amazing pasuk. But for once, the Megillah doesn't say Hasach went back and said it. Chazal say Hasach was embarrassed that this is like rebuke of Mordechai. So he gave kind of a message to someone else and made sure eventually the word gets back to. But this is a very, very powerfully assertive moment of Esther. And now, what we normally think is Mordechai basically says, look, after Diamond and Afshek, but Afshek, don't think you're going to escape. You have to do this. And so she says, okay, fine, I give in. I'll do what you wanted. But that's not what happens. The original plan to go in a Mischanin does not happen till Perek Ches. Right? Exactly, yeah. Not till then. Mordechai says to something else. He says, don't think you're going to escape. Right? If you stay silent now, we're going to be saved anyway. Right? In other words, this is not, Klal Yisrael is always going to be somehow saved. And this is part of the big Yisrael of the whole Megillah. As many point out, there's a long Sif Sechaim on this. Everything in the Megillah is Megala, as we spoke briefly about last time. Megala Einod Mulvada. It doesn't matter. Whatever pathway we choose, Rav Dessa speaks about this in many different essays. Whatever pathway we choose, Hashem will be Niskala. That's not our issue. So you would think that is the ultimate best reason for Esther to stay silent then. If Mimonav Shach, no matter what happens, Hashem will get revealed and Klal Yisrael will be saved. If no matter what happens, so then why should I get involved? But then listen to the words he says. And there's a very, very strong measure. If you stay silent, don't get involved with your nation, you're going to be obliterated, you're gone forever. And that's basically what he says, preferish in the Psukim here. Right? You and your ancestral home will be obliterated. What's Beis Avich got to do with anything? Because as we've been saying all the way through, the whole story is always being Merames back to the issues of Shaul and Agag. This is your great-great-grandfather who started the trouble here. He's the one who failed to kill Agag. This is your chance to be Masak in this. You fail, then everything becomes gone forever. Right? Who knows if this is why, for this reason, you became, you went through all this horrific procedure you had to go through to get to this position. But notice, mi yodem le'es kazos. Who knows? Mordechai is not saying, I know for sure. He's not saying it's been a lure. This is not, I know what you've got to do. It's an amazing set of psukim when we think about them, just for a brief set of moments. Number one, Hashem will be niskala no matter what. Klal Yisrael will be saved no matter what. Number two, therefore you've got to get involved. You would think the opposite. And number three, I'm not 100% sure what's going on over here. Right? But it feels like you've got to do something. You know, maybe my original plan was ridiculous. I'm asking, forget this being miskanan right now first. But do something. And that's when she turns around. And the matter of fact that he says, and if we put this together and think about it for a moment, something very deep emerges, which is a big yesod of the whole Megillah. The fact that it's Einod Mulvado, the fact that no matter what choice you make, a Kodesh Baruch Hu gets Niskala, is not a reason, sounds like a reason to do nothing. Just sit in a room and say to him. It's not doing nothing. Right, that's big things. But that sounds like a reason to be inactive, or to at least not risk your life doing crazy things. And as we'll see, what she's going to do, potentially, I mean, be over on Pesach, and who knows what else. So, sounds like, you know, good reason to just sit there. And what Mordechai is telling us, exactly the opposite, that's what the Medrash is telling us over here, is the very fact, Matzvura, what are you thinking? You're thinking the reason not to get involved is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maniachas Yisrael? Mikol Mokim Mamedem Goyal. This is the point. If I didn't think Rav Chatzalah Yamed Lehudim Mokim Acha, I would tell you to stay in a corner and say Tehillim and not take risks beyond that. But dafka, the fact that no matter what it will work, is exactly the reason you're mechuyev to be involved. Why? Because when we say Einoid Mavado, when we say the... You could have a half a minute to think like this. The Ramchal speaks of this in the Das Tavunas. There's many different ways you could think other than Einoid Mavado, Chas V'Shalom. One way is, you think there's really Shtei Rishayos, there's a force of good, there's a force of evil. In the end, good will come in, destroy evil, and win. But that's not the full oimik of what's happening in the Bria. You could really think that way, and then I'd say, you stay out of this, wait for the Nes to come and destroy everything. But the fact that everything is Einod Mavada, the fact that the entire story of the whole of my separation will in the end reveal that whatever you choose, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets Niskala. Whether you choose the pathway of Mordechai, choose the pathway of Haman, doesn't matter which way round, whichever pathway is chosen, the one guaranteed outcome is Gilui Hashem. And if Haman gets the power, the Gilui becomes even more powerful in a way. It becomes that no matter how hard you fight to stop giving Hashem, you end up just being without Hashem even more. Einod Mavado. When you realize what that means is that every single choice we ever make in our lives is not just a choice that might be forgotten somewhere. It's part of an incredible narrative that's all arcing to one place, Gilui Hashem. And every choice we think is irrelevant, and every choice we think makes no difference, actually is part of the final chapter. And therefore, when you realize that Revach Hatzolah Yamed Lehudim Mimokoy Macha, you realize that your choice right now is in that chapter, and there's three options. You choose to do the good thing, and you will not know now how that brings about the end, but your choice now will bring about the end, and when you get there, you'll see the whole of history occurred in that choice. You choose something Chas V'Shalom bad, you'll have to be destroyed, or something in you will have to be destroyed to get there. Or you choose Imacharesh Tacharishi, that if you stay silent now, then you're written out of this book forever. And that entire set of chapters that was waiting for this moment is all gone. That's what he tells her. So the fact that no matter what we get saved is the exact reason to be involved. It means that history is a narrative where every single moment is in that final chapter. Every single choice ever made is there. I watched this last time, but this is the deep nekuda. There are no small things. There are no random things. There's nothing that isn't critical in this whole picture. So then she says, fine. So in that case, to gather everybody, in other words, if this moment is the whole of history, then let's have all of Klal Yisrael behind me. This can't be about me anymore. And so she goes on. But you'll notice something amazing. Now I'll move into Perek Hei. So that's our Hakdama catching up. You learned something very interesting. Ibi Yemeshnishi. Vatil Bashesta Malchus. She wears Malchus, as the Medrash says. Big Day Malchus doesn't say, right? So she wears actual Malchus. And Gemara says, so it means she wears Ashras Ashkina. Right? And of course, Malchus is, she is Malchus. That's what she really is. And you'll see, I don't have time to go through all the dialogue, but when Achashverosh sometimes calls her Esther and Esther Malka, so there's something about her that he feels, that there's Shaul HaMelech basically walking into the room. This is real Malchus. But either way, she has Malchus on her, and Yoshit, it said that then he's Chereza Melech as Esther Malka, and Medes Bechotzer, Noso Chayn Be'enov. This Chayn comes over him, and the Gemara says a Malach basically pushes him. The Medrash says he was originally angry, but then just... Now, of course, a Malach playing with him, he wouldn't be conscious of. He just feels this state of mind, this Nasochein, this just comes over and he says, he's Moshe the Sharvit, and fine. And she comes near. And then he says, Malach Esther Malka, he calls her Esther Malka, he feels the Malchus. Up to half the Malchus, right? And again, but not Dovah Chotze Malchus. He's always got this paranoia about the base of Mikdash. This is an amazing pasuk because here's where she's finally about to execute a plan, right? And unbelievably, what does the Gemara say about it? The Gemara says, "Chima rasa Esther," right? What did she see? Tana Rabbana, "Ma rasa Esther she zimnas Haman." What was going through her mind to do this, right? Oh, shkoyach, thank you. What was going through her mind to do this? And you'll see the Gemara start with Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, different things, different Ramazim she might have had. Rabbi Meir says that she actually had a thought that Shalai Yitl Eitz of Yimroid. She's scared that she might win over, that as she's talking to Achashverosh, Haman may get wind of it and make some kind of rebellion, so she wants him in the room. Rabbi Yehuda says, Shalai Yakiru Basha Yehuda, that he won't start suspecting she's Jewish because you know, she's included him. Rav Nechemia says, "Kadesh Shalom Yisrael, Achosi Yisrael Beis Hamelach." The Jews should hear these rumors that maybe the Jewish queen, that they're safe. So the very fact that she's inviting Haman means even if she's born to Jews or whatever, that we're not safe. She seems to have fallen for their side, and so on. And they'll stop davening. Chasron. Rav Yossi says that he should be there b'chol eis, right? So he ready that any moment that Achashverosh flips, they could take him out, and so on. Ulay Yargish Amokoim, right, that Rishon ben Manasseh says, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see just how horrifying it is that she's stuck with these two big Rishayim, and finally she'll just, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will just intervene, V'yasele Neis. You'll notice some of these contradict each other, by the way. Yeshua ben Karchama, Asfil Abbi says, Kadesh Yaroi Kuvi, Ishkesh Yaroi Kuvi, he. Right, all these different things that are going on. Rabban Gamliel says, as we've seen all the way through, Achashverosh flips this way and this way, so Esther may win him over, then he goes, speaks to Haman, she'll win him back, so have it all in the room, do it. And so it goes on. Every Rabban Gamliel says, we need to bring in Rav Eliezer Medoi, and he says, we need to generate jealousy, let's get Achashverosh jealous of him, right? Rabbo says, Livnei Sheva Ga'oin, let's get his arrogance up, because that will usually, pride will come before a fall. Abaye and Ravan, you notice this is going on for Doirei Doiris, they've been answering this question. We've gone through the end of the Tanaim now, we're deep into the Amoraim in the Pumbedisi Yeshiva. We've got Abaye and Ravan now telling us. So other things that they say, that each one gives a different, and then eventually Rabbi Ravua comes to Eliyahu and says, Command Chaziasta, which is the real one over here? Right? Valdachi. What actually did motivate her? I mean, some of these contradict each other. There's like, was she doing it to get the Klal Yisrael to be afraid? Was she doing it to get this on to? Was she doing it? What was her motive here? Amalei kechulu. Chulu tanoi, like all of them. Chulu tanoi v'chulu amarai. Like all the tanoim and all the amarai. That's not really possible. Unless what it means is exactly this. She didn't have a clear plan. She thinks, I'll put the ingredients together. And I don't know, maybe there'll be a jealousy. Or maybe it will, you know, get Klal Yisrael to daven more. Or maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will look and see this. Or maybe something will happen. It could be any of these. That's okay. It could be anything. She's thinking maybe it'll be Livnei Sheva Ga'oin. Maybe the pride will come and it'll fall apart. Maybe this will happen. Maybe, she's not sure. And you see that profession in the Pesukim, she's not sure. Because she doesn't have a next move planned. So she doesn't have at this stage any plan. She knows that history demands of her to be here. That's what Mordechai said. Me Adem Leis, because I don't know for sure this is why you became queen, but I do know this. If the great-granddaughter of Shaul HaMelech is sitting here, while the great-grandson of Agag is making this, and you're in the palace, you've got to do something. So she's got the whole of Clarisol behind her. She walks in there and she gets this idea. Let's put all the players together. Let's see if something happens here. Let's put the ingredients and let HaKadosh Baruch Hu do something. I don't know what to do. And that's what happens. And this, by the way, is the oimek of Bitochen. The amazing thing we'll see from this all the way through, from Mordechai, from Esther, you'll see it again with Mordechai, is they never know what's going on. The more Bitochen you have, the less you need to know what's going on. Haman, who is convinced there's no meaning to anything, always has it all figured out. And Zeresh has it all figured out. You know, this is good. This. They've always got it all. They can tell you exactly what part of history they're in exactly that moment. Mordechai can't. Esther can't. When we know that we're part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu story, we know it's going to be greater than ours. So our limitations, we don't need to put on. We need to ask ourselves, what do we need to do right now? Put things together. More than that, we can't do. And that's it. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to do everything else. And that's the incredible thing that's going on over here. Now, so then, Haman, of course, has understood all this. This is it. This must mean, you know, that he's now the most favored person on planet Earth, and he comes in, and then you get this amazing line where she says, this is Sheilosi, this is Bakashosi, Yavai Melech Vaman and Amishta, Asher Asai, Mocha Asakit Vaman, Vyetze Haman, Vyemu Samech, Vatov Lev. He's got it all figured out. This is all in his. So now Haman is livid. He holds back and he tells everybody. And he brings all his lovers. It's mashma that she's not one of them, but he also brings Zeresh Ishtai. And he talks about Kvoidosh. It's amazing. This is like an amazing narcissistic apostle. He talks about his power and how many children he's telling. They must all thought he was a fool. You know? He's telling all his family how many children he's got. And all that. Right? This is it. Nothing's worth anything to me. And here there is a very, very deep reference back. Because remember, everything is Esav and Yaakov, as we've been pointing out. And I've been skipping this so many Rambam all the way through the Megillah. We saw some last time. But remember, in the encounter between Esav and Yaakov, its final chapter basically is this. When Yaakov comes back in Parshas Vayishlach, and offers Esav all these things. And Esav says, Yesh li rov achi, yidach ha-shelach. I've got so much, you keep it. And Yaakov says, he says, Kach nos birchosi, asher uslach, ki chanani alekim v'chi yesh li koil. Right, the same chanani word, which we'll get Bez Hashem to. But chi yesh li koil, I have all. I have all. You see, Esav has rov, he has so much. Yaakov has all. How can you have all? If you want to possess things, you can only have rov. You can only have a lot. Right? You can never have all. It's not possible. The only way to have all is if I see myself as part of a Maisa Bereishis, Kichol Vashamayim Vaaretz, I see myself as part of this, where every single thing is part of one, and I'm a part of that too, then Yesh Li Kol. Or as Hillel says in the Gemara, Mani Kan HaKol Kan. Right? I'm here, my angle, everything is here, because everything is everywhere. The whole plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. This is the bit that I need to be. Mani Kan HaKol Kan, everything I need is here, but because I'm a part of HaKol. I'm a part of HaKol. Then we spoke about Kohelas, we spoke about the different uses of the words Kol and Kol and how this all is. But ultimately, all of us are touching all of reality at all times. When we see everything as the Devar Hashem, all of us are integrated into everything, everywhere, all the time. I do a Maisa Tov here, everything everywhere is impacted. The whole of history is impacted. That everything is touched. I have everything. All I need is I'm connected to everything. The bits that are in my particular domain, fine. The bits that aren't are also fine. They're all part of the same thing. They're all part of the story I interact with. I have everything. So if right now you need those possessions instead of me, whatever. That's okay. It doesn't really matter who's got what and what's got who. We're all part of this integrated picture of Gilui Kvod Malchus Yisborach, and I'm a part of all of that. And I have everything, therefore. And then that also iterates that I have everything I need for everything. But either way, Yesh Li Kol. If a person wants Rav, if a person could turn around and say, Yesh Li Rav, I have so much, it means they cannot have enough. Why? Because everybody needs all. There's only two ways to achieve that. One is I'm a part of this thing that is greater than me, called Rotzen Hashem, Gilui Hashem. And I am just like every cell in the body has the whole body. Every organ in the body has the whole body. It is the whole body. It's part of the body. That's its identity. is not I'm an individuated thing trying to take things from somebody else. I am part of kol, that's what I am. And therefore yeshli kol. That's what it is. Whereas if you are no, I am me and I want to take and I want to own and I want to possess, then ideally you have to possess everything, because whatever you don't possess tells you you're not in charge. Haman is the extreme expression of Yeshli Rav. Haman is the extreme expression of Esav. Esav's entire life is how can I acquire everything? That's why Esav is Mechabed Av. Because how do I acquire my own existence when my parents gave it to me? Pay them. Dress in gold. He can't speak nicely to his father. Right, that's Kol Yaakov. The voice of the voice of Yaakov. So we know the Drosh is Chazal, but Rashi brings, he speaks nicely to him. He says, Yakum Na'avi, please get up. Yaakov loves his father. Esav doesn't. Esav says, come off, get up. He can't say the word nah, he can't speak nah. I use mechabedim more than anybody. Yes! Kibbud means, and we learn from him kibbud, right? Halavai that we could be mechabed our parents like him. But his motive isn't love. His motive is control, power. I feel like I owe my parents, let me pay them back. I'll dress in gold. But he never has kibbud aim, interestingly enough. Maybe he doesn't think he can ever pay that back. Kibbud off. He pays back, he never talks to his mother once in the Torah. Right? But he'll pay him back. HaKadosh Baruch, how do I take Maisa from Melech? I want to pay back. I want to own everything. I want to control. That's Esav. Yeshli Rav, you'll always give in. You'll always be able to give that more. Here we have the same thing. Anybody who wants to possess things will never have enough. And the more possessive and controlling they want to be, the more not having one thing will destroy them. And the more, therefore, they are driven by this. Kol zeh, kol, listen to the word kol. Einena shoveli, it's worth zero. Bechol eis, the same word, ashani royas Mordechai Yehudi Yeshiv Shah Melech. If there's one, and of course it's going to be Mordechai as we've seen, then he will refuse. That's it. So, v'tovel ezer ashishtem, choloi av yasu eitz gavoy chamishim amal voike emal ha-melech v'yisrael, Mordechai alav voy ha-melech, voy ima ha-melech ala mishte samech, v'yitem adov v'lifnei Mordechai v'lifnei ha-melech. Sorry, I'm getting it. And that is it. So at this moment, the very existence of Mordechai is a threat to everything that Haman is. Mordechai's right very existence is that's it. So now, up till this point, all the ingredients have been moving around. Nothing has yet happened in terms of the Geula. And when we discussed in the Gemara in your test, the different shittas in the Tanoim, Rishon Bar Yochai says that right, different shittas is the way you have to start the Megillah from. Right, we saw this. We passed in the first parak, but some say from beginning of Tokef Mordechai and Tokef Haman and Tokef Anes. The last shita is this. Ba'alayla hu'nol l'shnas ha'melech. This is it, because this is where the Nes begins to move. Now, a very interesting question to think about. We're very much out of time, but I'm setting up Be'ez Hashem for next. Does he already book me in for next night? So a lot of these prokim are setting up what's happening. But there's an amazing point over here. Obviously, Nodad Hashanah Samelach means Achashverosh couldn't sleep, but obviously the use of the word Hamelach means on some level there's a big Hisoros taking place in Shomayim, and this is now things are going to turn. And they call in front of everything, and the Gemara tells us that in fact, what was Menadit, the sleep, because remember, so which is it? Is it Hamelach is Akash Baruch or Achashverosh? It's obviously both, right? They're both true. But whenever he uses the word Hamelach, it means HaKadosh Baruch is manipulating Achashverosh at that point to his Ratzon. But the Nedidus of Achashverosh, the inability of the sleep of Achashverosh, is because all of this has produced a paranoia. That's how the Gemara describes it. That he's sitting there thinking, what's Esther done? Same question Esther had, right? She doesn't know what it is, and one of her Havaminas is producing Kinah. So, jealousy. So, and that's what's happening. He's starting to think. Remember, Achashverosh, as we've seen at every single point, is paranoid. At every single point, the Megillah and Chazal depict him in this world of trying to please everybody, in this world of an inability. Every projected state of mind is false up till this stage in the Megillah, and for one more perek following this, every single thing will be preceded with the prefix ka. And he is therefore sitting there thinking, what's this bizarre thing happening? Esther, who you remember, he spent the whole end of the second parak trying to figure out who she is and couldn't do it. He's worried there's some mysterious thing going on. Now she's bringing Haman in. This is all looking like some kind of a plot. In his mind, he's telling himself all sorts of interesting scenarios. And the Medrash brings the Malach was also showing him dreams of Haman coming to kill him. And that just plays into his whole world. And he thinks, if there's a conspiracy going on, why is no one telling me what's going on? And they just figures maybe they don't figure out reward people who reveal conspiracies. So let's bring the Divrayomim and see if this is going to be the case. And that we will have to see exactly what takes place over here and what's going to be. But the movement of the Shnas HaMelech, the key bit that's going to be revealed now in all of this, and this is what I wanted to really draw down, is as follows. Because one thing I will already let you know now is when you jump to the end of the fifth parak, we'll go through Bez Hashem some key bits next time, Yitz Hashem, and then get into the actual Maisa, the sixth parak, Bez Hashem. But one of the most incredible things is after it all happens, after Haman's plan becomes completely inverted, after he ends up coming back, Ava v'chofei Rosh, right? His daughter's thrown, famously, as every child knows the Chazal, that she threw the pot on him and then fell off. And all that's happened. Where does Mordechai go? He goes back to sit down again, carries on his avedas. You would think Mordechai would be like, the nace is happening. Mordechai is always sitting there with a bitochan nashama that tells him, I don't know where things are at. I only need to know what I need to do right now. Right now, we're at the Tzlocha Baruch Hashem, there's still Tefillos, we go back exactly where we were. I'm not interpreting things, I'm not working them out. When I live, when I have real betochem, I'm a battle myself to whatever the big picture is. At every single point, you'll see Azeresh also, she's got the next bit worked out and the next bit worked out. But the question I want to leave us with is this, for next time, is why was that fifth parak important at all? It's the beginning of Toikev Shalmeis. What would have happened had it not happened? Surely every single part of the story would still be exactly the same. Next day they're going to come into the Mishnah. Next day Esther's going to reveal everything. Next day Ahasuerus is going to say, at the right moment Harvoina will walk in, Haman will die. It seems like a nice little interlude to make us all happy. But actually, why is this called the Toikev Shalmeis? Why is this the Ikar turning point in their time together? What really happens over here that changes the entire story? So that, me and Tasha, we're going to have to see next time. We're together.